the Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 28. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord, and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The world is going to hell. I imagine that sounds a bit startling. But the scriptures are pretty clear about that fact. The world is going to hell. It all started back in the garden. God said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." But Adam and Eve ate from that tree, and because they disobeyed God, they and all their descendants, including you and me, became subject to death and hell. The witness of Scripture concerning this is consistent. The prophets record, "The soul who sins shall die." Jesus testified, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many, many enter through it." St. Paul explains, "There is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Death here in time, and death eternally in hell. That is the common end all people deserve for their sin, the place to which by nature everyone is headed, hell. It's vital that we're clear about this. Human beings tend to have the idea, indeed many are pretty certain, that if someone is truly sincere in whatever he believes and really makes an effort to behave well, such a person won't be damned. You've perhaps had the experience of talking to someone at work or in your neighborhood who has this sort of idea. An acquaintance may have a sincerely held belief that you're certain is dead wrong. Yet even when you can show that that belief is clearly contrary to what the scriptures teach, it is virtually impossible to lead that person to understand that his trust is misplaced and that the faith he follows will never be vindicated. Indeed, if you try to address such an issue, no matter how carefully you approach it, you're liable to be treated as if you've just committed a very terrible offense. To assert that what a person believes is false, to say that she is wrong concerning some matter of spiritual importance, is considered inexcusably rude. Even though the apostles have clearly written that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, and insists that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There are many people in this world, more than a few who identify themselves as Christians, who absolutely reject that sort of exclusive claim. The world doesn't want to hear that apart from Christ, it is going to hell. Nevertheless, that is what God's word says. Thus, Jesus' words in our text are revealed to be all too true. Because of his coming and his teaching and his work, a man turns against his father. A daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies become the members of his own household. Yet we need to understand precisely why this is. It's because the world is rushing headlong to hell, and Jesus means to stop it. The angry response of the world to Jesus and those who follow him comes because Jesus wants to change the direction the world is going. And the world wants to keep on going the way it's going. When we hear Jesus say, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." We need to recognize that there is such a thing as a wicked peace. The reading from Jeremiah this morning points to that. If the prophet had kept his mouth shut, had not proclaimed the word of the Lord, harmony would have reigned in Jerusalem, even as the people were increasing the Lord's wrath against them by their continued refusal to repent. Jeremiah was not sent to proclaim peace to all of Israel as they rebelled against the Lord. And Jesus did not come to appease a world in rebellion against God. Jesus came to oppose that rebellion and to make peace by the blood of his cross. Yet it's not just the world out there that rebels against God and the sort of peace Jesus came to establish. Now, to be sure, the world out there does rebel against God. But so does the world in here. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. There's only one place that Jesus is willing to take in our lives. That's first place. Anyone or anything which claims priority over Christ with regard to your love or loyalty or trust is a danger to your salvation. It's not an insignificant part of the cross of which Jesus speaks here that has to do with bearing the burden of division and separation from one's family that sometimes comes with following Christ. The cross includes also the challenges and difficulties that come with denying one's own wants and desires in order to live in accordance with God's will. Jesus is warning here against living in such a way that a person finds himself and follows his dreams through dedication to self-fulfillment. Whoever finds his life, he says, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Think for a moment of the parable of the rich fool. He was a success. He had so great a harvest, so much to store away, that once he had completed his bigger barns, he would have no more worries. He figured he was set for life. Sadly, though, he wasn't set for death. The Lord said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Whoever finds his life, Jesus says, will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, by dedicating himself not to his own desires, but to mine, such a person will find it. Find it eternally. This is the prophet's reward, the righteous man's reward. Consider today's Old Testament reading again for a moment. What did Jeremiah get is his reward for his faithfulness in speaking God's word. If he had ignored the message the Lord had entrusted to him, and instead joined Hananiah in declaring that everything was going to be all right, that the kingdom of Judah was about to turn the corner on a bright and glorious future, the priests and the people would have welcomed his message with great gladness. Instead, what Jeremiah received for his faithfulness to God was the contempt of God's people. On earth, he lost his life for the sake of God's word. But his soul is now in God's glorious presence, awaiting the resurrection of the body and eternal glory. What Paul wrote is indeed true. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the light and momentary troubles that we experience are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We honor Christ when we welcome those who speak his word, who live according to it, who trust and follow it. The world isn't much impressed with prophets and righteous men and disciples of Christ. The world doesn't have much use for Christians and congregations and churches, especially if they refuse to follow the world's priorities, fail to compromise or water down Jesus' divisive teaching. But this is just one more place where God's ways are not the world's ways. to receive and join in with those who honor Christ by faithfully speaking and living his word because they belong to Christ, is to receive Christ and to be united with the Father. Jesus puts his stamp of approval on such activity with wonderful promise. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. What is that reward? The gracious invitation on the last day, which is portrayed in that window. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is a truly wondrous and glorious reward. As you face the difficulties of living as God's faithful people in this world, as you struggle to resist your own sinful desires, as you suffer the disapproval and even hatred of the world because you follow Christ, may God strengthen you through the warning and promise of our text to endure every hardship and difficulty, to lose your life here, so that in the end you will not have disqualified yourself from rejoicing eternally with the one who gave his life for you, your loving Savior, Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.